Once again, it's a blessing to be with you this afternoon. I appreciate the privilege of hopefully sharing with you some of the work that we're doing there in Arizona. I know that you support the work that I am doing, and I appreciate that help and the finances as well as your prayers. And I do believe you help support Doug as well. So this is, you have a twofold interest in that. And I mean an interest, because the Apostle Paul told the Colossian brethren, Philippian brethren, he was thankful for their support of him. And he prayed that any fruit that was gained would be added to their account. I believe that's a good principle for an evangelist to think about and pray for and to give thanks for the support of the brethren, specifically you right now. And I do pray that as a result of your faith and your works, that the Lord would add to your account the fruit that is being gained. And there is fruit there by the grace of God. So before I get into our actual work, I want to talk about, most of you know that Doug and I are working there together as fellow workers. And for the most part, this is a newly found principle among the churches here in the United States, at least in recent memory. That's perfect. Just like that. Thank you. Especially a work such as this requires, I believe, at least two men. Doug and I work together, and I believe we work well together. This may come as a surprise to you, but Doug and I are very different. I tend to be a little more aggressive, and he's cautious. I'm a little bit bold, and he's sort of on the shy, quiet side. But yet, we help one another, because we add to one another's strengths and weaknesses, more my weaknesses than his strengths. But we are a benefit to one another. Doug and Jill and their family are a great big encouragement to me and our family and the work that we're doing there. And I truly appreciate the total amount of funds that is being put into that work. And this lesson here isn't about funds, but it is something I want you to realize we are very thankful for, because of the kind of work that we're doing, because of the distances of the various churches, because of the sheer amount of work. It really is a great benefit to have a fellow worker there. And I thank you for helping make that possible. And I know that the more that you, and I know that everyone here just can't wait every month or 2 months, actually every month, to receive either Doug or my report. You go to the elders and you beg them to see a copy of it. And I appreciate that very much. So much of this is going to be just review for a few of you. But I want to urge you to read the report. Doug and I both try to put one out. We try to stagger I send one out every other month, and he sends one out every other month. And so we try to stagger it so that you have some kind of idea of what's going on every month. Because I think it's good for you to be aware of what is going on, of how your support is being used. Because the more you're aware of it, the more comfortable you'll feel with it. I believe, by the grace of God, we are doing good work there. And I want you to know that, because you have a part in that. Now, just to review just a little bit, and I think I may have reviewed this with you a year or 2 years ago when we first started thinking about this work. So if you'll forgive my repetition, and if you remember it, just take a little nap. We'll be done here in just a moment with this part. But this was like about 2.5 years ago. Some brethren in Phoenix, this is primarily the church at Union Hills. They're a very well-established church. They have elders. They have deacons. They're probably around 40 to 50 in attendance. They have been trying to get an evangelist to move down to that area for a number of years, and they were calling various evangelists, and including myself and including Doug. And at that time, it just did not seem to be something that either one of us could do in our work. So we told them, at least I told them, that I wasn't able to do it at that time, but sometime in the future we would see what the Lord's will was. And so, but shortly after that, about within a couple of weeks after that, a brother and a sister from the church at Indianapolis that sends me out as an evangelist, which is way over here on the map for those familiar with geography, Indianapolis, Indiana, they passed through Flagstaff. Now, the brethren in Flagstaff had never met the brethren in Phoenix, and there was absolutely no connection at all between them. But they passed through Flagstaff to the little church that we're working with now, and they saw that there maybe was a need for an evangelist to be working in that area. And they asked them about that, and the brethren at Flagstaff at that time said, yes, we would be very interested in someone perhaps moving here. So they went back to Indiana, this couple, and my elders had been, apparently, and I found this out later, they had been thinking about that I perhaps was ready for a move. I'd been in Denver for 12 years. I believe we had done good work in Denver, but I think perhaps I had done as much as I could possibly do there. they felt like that perhaps I was spinning my wheels. And so I had been thinking along the same lines without any communication there. And so they contacted me not to move down to Flagstaff, but to ask me to go down there and see about the situation, to look it over, to see what possibilities there were. And again, that was totally unbeknownst to the brethren in Phoenix who had called me. And it just so happened that I happened to be in Doug and Jill Twaddell's house in Beloit, Kansas. We got together a lot, still managed to work together. I was from Denver and he was from Beloit, and sometimes each month we would go one way or the other to visit a little bit and study. And I just happened to be in their home, and just sort of half joking, I said, "If we move to Arizona, will you go with us?" And we didn't realize how serious that was, because both Doug and I went down to Flagstaff to visit the brethren there. And while we were there, we went down to Phoenix to visit the brethren down in Phoenix. There's a very nice highway right through the mountains called I-17, and we visited with the brethren. And so we came back and we started thinking and talking about, was this the Lord's will that we moved to Arizona? And sometimes, often, today, we don't know whether a particular work that we're doing is God's will or not. God does not speak to us in a manner as He did the apostles. But I do believe the Lord's will can be found by prayer and meditation and thought. And so we prayed and we meditated and we thought. And finally it was decided, yes, it was something that we should do. Both of us took it to our elders. I moved down there almost 2 years ago, about a year before Doug did. Him and Jill wanted to move down at that time, but at the request of his elders in Beloit, Kansas, which would be about right about there. And they asked him to stay in Beloit another year to help get some things solidified. And then Doug and Jill moved down there last May. And so as we've been saying before, thus the work in Arizona began by the grace of God. Now, primarily our responsibility is with the church called the University Church of Christ in Flagstaff. It's a small group. They meet in elementary school. Right now, because of people have moved away, matter of fact, one of the primary couples there at the church at University, he got transferred to Phoenix just last summer. And so right now there are only two members there that were there when we came there. But by the grace of God, we have basically an average Sunday attendance of between 20 and 25. And so everyone there, and if you exclude Doug and my families, which is quite a few just between us, and the two brothers, there are many others that have been added to the body, and they have been added since we've been there. And so the church really is in a pretty good situation. We are very blessed with having five brothers who participate, four of which will do anything that anybody asks, any lesson, any class, any exhortation, whatever. And the other brother, he will still bring exhortations and other lessons. He just doesn't feel comfortable with the classes. So the church there is doing pretty good. We've got a number of speakers there that are helping. Many of them are growing and they're prospering within the context of having the privilege of moving, of being there, excuse me. Now there's one particular brother that I wish every single one of you would meet. I'd like you to meet all of them, and Rebecca and I know Doug and Jill have rooms in your honor when you're ready to come and visit. We want to urge you to come down. And I only say that about Doug and Jill because I know how we almost fight to try to say, well, who's going to stay at our house and who's going to stay at my house? Because they also like to have brothers and sisters passing through. But that would not be a problem. But there's one particular brother I wish that you could meet. His name is Paul Sisko. Paul is a single man. He's in his early to mid-30s. Paul moved up to Flagstaff about 3 years ago from Phoenix with the sole purpose of helping the church there at Flagstaff. He doesn't want to be a preacher at all. One day he'd like to be an elder. He's not married yet. He knows he needs to be married with children. And then there's a number of years after that. But he just wants to help. And you can imagine what a great thrill it is to have a brother like Paul. Paul will do anything we ask. Right now, he's in charge of taking care of the finances. He writes the checks. He takes care of the balances and everything, as well as participates in the various classes and other obligations. Paul is very much an encouragement to us. So I really wish you could meet Paul. One day I hope you can. Paul has one physical aspect about him that he has to overcome, and he's a severe stutterer. But yet, when you listen to him and you have patience, he brings lessons that are very understandable. He does a very good job with organizing thoughts. And I just hope one day you have a chance to meet Paul. And there are other brethren there. We recently had a young couple, one brother, and his wife is not yet a Christian, though we are in the process of planting seed. Hopefully that will come out. They just had a new child, little Jordan. And I might mention, for those of you I know who've already read my report, you know, you already know this, so you can go to sleep again. But the first time they brought Jordan to meeting, Jordan was sitting there in her little chair and she was asleep. And Elijah Twaddell, who's almost 3 years old, said, because, you know, Jordan wasn't moving, Elijah said, "It's not working." So Elijah thought it was like a baby doll that's supposed to have moving parts. So, but by the grace of God, Jordan is doing well. And Elijah is starting to find out what it's like to have your place as baby of the church taken away, because it is no longer Elijah, it's now Jordan. But basically, that's the primary responsibility we have with them. There's a couple that are meeting with us that just moved there from Florida last summer. They love the Lord. They really like participating with what we're doing. They're used to having a minister at Churches of Christ, but yet they have agreed that what we are doing is a good work and they are supportive of us. Rob participates in everything. He's one of the brothers that will do anything that we ask. He's very much involved in planning and wanting to see the church grow, wanting to see things that we could do to help plant seed in the community. And so Rob and McCall is involved in teaching the children's class and other things, are just very much involved with us. There's another older lady. She is a resident old person. Her name is Nancy Medlock. Nancy is a great blessing to us. Nancy also has been added to the body. She was already a Christian, but has joined with us. Actually, she joined with us before even the Twaddells moved there, but just after I moved there, she visited the Sunday that I was there, and she's a big advantage. There's another couple, Eddie and Latrice Patterson. They also have been added to us just within the last 6 months. They're from the community there, and they really enjoy what we're doing. They like participating. Eddie is our Andy Griffith of the church. If you ever heard some of Andy Griffith's tapes or his little audio things, Andy is he's just a good old boy, as he calls himself. And he loves the Lord, and he really likes what we're doing there a lot. But basically, that's what the church is made up of. We're Doug and my, our work as evangelists is to try to make the assembly so that they are edifying and strengthening. And that means by encouraging the various brothers to participate in the teaching. And there's a lot of ability there, just among the five brothers there that are willing to teach, in particular the three there that are members of the body there, other than Doug and I. For the most part, they're just willing to do whatever they can do. And that does help make the assemblies edifying, which is really the issue, isn't it? The assemblies are not entertaining by any means, but then they're not supposed to be entertaining. They're not flashy, they're not showy, but they do portray the Word of God. We've had a number of people passing through there. A lot of people come through Flagstaff to see the Grand Canyon and the other beauties that God has put there in that state. And they talk about how edifying our meeting is. And I consider that a very good thing, because that's one of the purposes, that we teach what is right, so that when those who are from the outside will come and they will visit us, they will recognize that God is indeed among us. So I'm thankful for that. One thing we do every first Sunday of the month, we have what we call a mutual topic. We assign a topic on the schedule. For instance, the topic for today there was what is a servant? And so we invite all the brothers to participate to bring short lessons on this topic in place of the exhortation period. And the brethren there and the sisters, they really like what we're doing there. They like hearing the different thoughts and the different types of lessons that they're hearing from the various brothers. And this also is another way that we feel like we can encourage mutual edification, brothers encouraging one another. Something else that Doug and I spend a lot of time on is in trying to encourage the brothers to grow. We have a number of Bible studies throughout the week, not counting in addition to Sunday morning and Wednesday night. We study with Brother Paul Sisko every Tuesday morning. We're studying with about the life of Christ with Paul. We have what we call a men's study on Tuesdays, in which we talk about things specifically pertaining to the men, to the brothers, to leadership potential in the church. The ladies have a study on Wednesdays just for the ladies. And Jill and Rebecca basically are practically the experienced, the old ladies as I call them there. They're really a big help in guiding that study. We have various other studies throughout the week that if you read in my report, you'll read about these, because we're trying to encourage the brethren to grow, to come up to their potential so that they also can help plant seed in others' lives. We try to encourage a lot of interaction between the brothers and the sisters. We try to have a lot of fellowship activities. We have two planned every month. One is a night that we meet at our home usually, where we meet together for food and we play games and we talk basically about things that God's people talk about, usually spiritual things. We We have a specific Sunday in which we gather at the Twaddell's home for a basket dinner because we want to encourage brethren to get. This is how you get to know one another, by being in one another's homes. And there are other activities that we do. We call them planned impromptu meetings, if there is such a thing, where it happens to be a Sunday that both Doug and I are there, or one of us, and we'll just simply invite people to our homes. Come and share some food with us. Seems like everything we do surrounds food because we have so much. And it's certainly something that we have in common in our society. We have plenty of food, plenty of times to enjoy one another's company. We're also attempting to plant seed in the community of Flagstaff in various ways. We have a mailing that we send out every 2 months that we try to, just simply trying to get the attention of people in the community, trying to plant the seed of the Word of God in their lives. Right now, we haven't yet had any hard evidence that it's working. However, there's been a few contacts through the mailing. Judging by what I've read, something like this, we sent it to the same addresses over and over again. We've only had one person ask us to stop theirs, and we stopped theirs. But for the most part, hopefully the good of this will become over a period of time when people see this same mailing. And so fairly, we try to make it an attractive looking mailing that we ourselves are preparing. Doug does the final editing on his computer in a publishing program. But we try once again to get the individual brothers and sisters involved in this mailing. For instance, there's a particular, it's 8.5 by 11, double-sided, trifolded. There's a particular section in it just for family and family issues. We had Eddie and Latrice recently. They're our resident grandparents, and they recently put an article in the upcoming May issue, some thoughts with a cartoon in it about being grandparents, about teaching your grandchildren about the Lord. And they had a little cartoon that perhaps you have seen. It shows this grandfather reading his Bible, and this, I think his grandson says, "What are you doing, Grandpa?" And he says, "I'm preparing for my final," with the idea of teaching your grandchildren what they need to do. And so, and that's what Eddie and Latrice have contributed for next month's mailing. And so, we try to get someone, at least two people from the church, every mailing to participate, to contribute something. Something that they themselves have worked on, that they themselves have written. We have a particular page just for kids that has puzzles on it. Always some kind of spiritual lesson. For instance, McCall Scholes, Rob's wife, she contributed a particular word puzzle about Jesus this last time. That's just perfect for children on that page. We also have some serious teaching going out on this, but we try to make this particular mailing as positive as possible because we want people to see that there are good things happening there in the church. And we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully we'll see some benefit from that. And that sort of sums up our work with the local church, the University Church of Christ there in Flagstaff. But one of the main reasons we moved down there to Arizona was because there are churches of Christ all over the state that need help, that just don't have anyone to work with them. Many of them are churches that would prefer to have what we would call a minister, but yet they don't. And so Doug and I sent out letters a little while ago introducing ourselves to them and trying to find churches that would be willing to let us come in and help them. Help them learn to teach one another. Many times churches who are used to having ministers, someone do all the speaking, they feel so inadequate. Now it's unfortunate that they do. I blame this on what I call the clergy system among the churches of Christ that have taught your average brother that he's not worthy of teaching in the kingdom of God. If not in word, then in deed. And this is an abomination, and there's no reason for them to feel inadequate at all. Many of them have abilities and talents and skills, and our opportunity is to try to show them that they can do this work, that they don't have to have a man to come in and teach them, that they can teach one another. And we're getting some interesting responses. Before I get into some of these other churches, I will mention, while our work is primarily in Flagstaff, we are working with the church at Union Hills in Phoenix, right now, with the goal of appointing elders and deacons in the near future. Doug and I go down there once a month. We trade off every other month. And we're presenting lessons on leadership, on some of the foundations of leadership, on what it takes to be a leader. We're going to be getting into more particulars this next month on the qualifications for elders and deacons. And so we're getting down to the point where we're hopefully at least considering some men who we hope are qualified within the next few months. This is something Doug and I are working together, and I might add, and all this work that we're doing, we're trying to do this as a team. We're trying to do this together. Sometimes we trade off and on the responsibilities. Sometimes we go together like we do down to Pima here in just a minute I'll tell you about. But yet we are trying to make this as much a team effort as possible. And I really think that's a good thing. Once a month, we have a Bible study going on there at one of the families at Union Hills. And I'll give you an idea how this started. And I know since you read my report, you can go to sleep and the rest of you can listen to this. I think it's worthwhile. One of the men that we were discussing, and he possibly is going to be considered as an elder here in a couple of months, he explained to me he felt so inadequate. He just didn't know enough of the Bible as he thought he should. And so I thought, well, what about we just start a Bible study in your home and just invite as many of the brothers and sisters that want to come with the idea, primarily a younger people study. Younger, it's interesting, is the older I've gotten, the older the age of younger people is. It's a young people study with people under the age of 40 and down. So it depends on how you want to justify that. But we've had around 30 to 40 people there. We've had three different studies now. We're having some really, really good studies. But one thing that motivated this, again, I go back to what I was going to tell you. This brother and sister whose home we meet in, this brother went to his dad. His dad is one of the elders. And he said, you know, I just don't study enough. Talking about himself. He says, I just don't study the Bible enough. And his dad, who is a very plain-spoken man, said, well, whose fault is that? And so this brother was motivated. He said, no, we need to have this Bible study. And so I will tell you, we've been really making some really good studies. There's a number of individuals that attend the meeting there at Union Hills that are not yet Christians. And so they have been coming to the study as well. So that I believe this is a good work we're doing. Now, some of you know Dave and Janet Gentry. They live in a little bitty town called Pima. We've been meeting in their home now for about a year and a half. They, for various reasons, they felt a need to start a new group in their home. And so we're trying to be an encouragement to them. We have another sister that's a member there in addition to, actually two other sisters in addition to Dave and Janet. And in addition to young Cheyenne Gentry was baptized last year. She also is a part of the body there now. I will tell you, we're in the process of moving where the church meets. Right now it meets in Dave and Janet's home in Pima. Well, they've just found a location that's in a town that's a little bit bigger than Pima called Safford. You may have heard about it. There's a little business front there that's going to let them meet there on Sunday evenings without charge. So we're going to be starting that here pretty soon if they haven't already. If they didn't, they might be starting it this evening. I'm just not sure because I'm not there and Doug is able to be there by the grace of God. We're hoping, and right now there's no other activity going on in this building. We're hoping they'll let us keep a sign up all week long to advertise it and get some interest in the community. Later on this fall, we plan to do some heavy work in just that community there. I might mention something else that we do there, and we did it Flagstaff last year, and we did it Pima or Safford last year. We have a booth that we have at the county fair that really was the first time I'd ever done anything like this, and I was unaware of any of the rules or anything, but it worked out real well. We had a little a 10x10 tent. We had a table in there where we had all kinds of material that we gave out. You might find this interesting, but I don't like using, as a rule, material that's part of it I have to apologize for, like little handouts and tracts. So Doug and I simply asked a number of brethren among us, most of them evangelists, if they would prepare these tracts for us. Doug and I, of course, took a tract as well. And so we made these. We handed them out to people. We have information about the two different churches at two different fairs. And it worked out real well. And we're going to do that again this year. Flagstaff really appreciated the work that we did there. And down in Safford, we're hoping to coordinate that with a new meeting place in Pima. And it happens this fall. We hope that we can get some more interest from the community. And again, the issue, I think, is just like the mailing. Just like planting seed over and over and over again. Because you know what? We can't control whether that seed is going to bear fruit or not. We can't. All we can do is plant it and fertilize it and water it and let the sun get to it. God will bring the increase eventually. Now, I might mention, this particular area is very, very hard ground. And those of you know, I'm not talking about the actual physical earth. I'm talking about the people. It's a very strong religious community based mostly in Mormonism. So we're having trouble finding soft hearts. But that's not our concern. We have to continue planting seed, and this is another way that we believe we are having the opportunity to try to plant seed in the hearts of men and women. And then in addition to Pima, there is a small church here. It's about 30 to 40 miles west of Flagstaff. This is a group at Williams. If you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, you get to the Grand Canyon here by two different routes, one through by Flagstaff and one by Williams. Well, there's a small group there that I visited about a year and a half ago, just after I'd moved to Flagstaff. I knew there was a small group there. They did not have a minister. And I visited with them and asked them if we could be of assistance to them. At that time, they really weren't interested. They had a man coming up there who was preaching for them. But when we sent out our letter, which was several months ago, they responded. They said, no, we've decided we would like to have your help. So Doug and I went out to visit with them. We found the few brethren they have. They're about maybe 4 to 6 brothers and sisters that come regularly. Very, very much full of faith. They want the church to grow and to prosper. And so as a result of that, Doug and I now, we go once a month each. But see, that takes us away from university. But yet, you know what? That's an advantage with having another brother there. When one of us goes over here, the other one can stay here in Flagstaff. And I might mention also, I forgot to mention, the church at Pima, it was decided for them to meet on Sunday night. So that allows us to meet with the church at Flagstaff on Sunday morning and drive down to Pima and meet with them at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. They also meet on Thursday night. And as of right now, Doug and I make the trip down there and back in one day a week. We go down every... It works out a Thursday and a Sunday, which, you know, Thursdays and Sundays, you go on a Thursday and then you go on a Sunday, you're going in 2 different weeks, okay? You understand that, because Sunday is the first day of the week. So basically, we alternate Thursdays and Sundays, so we're there once a week, and it gives us about a week and a half break, because it's a little bit of a drive down there. It's about 5 hours down there and 5 hours back. So when we go down there Thursdays, we leave about 1 o'clock. We get down there about 5 or 6. We have a dinner and we have a good meeting. Then we go back home and then we go again the next Sunday. Another great advantage with having a fellow worker to do this with, because we trade off often on driving and with the expenses, and it really is a blessing to have someone to work with in that capacity. And while I'm gone for the next week and a half, Doug will be going down there by himself. He went down there Thursday night. I talked to him on the phone. They had a good meeting, and he's going down right now. Right now it's 4 o'clock in Arizona, so he's well on his way, more than halfway down the Pima between Phoenix and Pima, and he'll be going back early in the morning, because we both have decided, rather than staying overnight on a regular basis, we just go down and back in a day. We get home about 3 o'clock in the morning, but we're young. Well, Doug is young, but we're able to handle that by the grace of God. It just makes it easier on the families, I think, when we don't have to stay over on a regular basis. Although, when we go down to Pima, like to work in the community, like we have once or twice, and to work in the fair, we go down for the whole time. So, but that's how the work at Pima is going. Again, it once a week. But we go to Williams one Sunday a month each. In addition to that, we've been in the process of visiting some of the various members there, and people who have been a member there and have left. They have been struggling for many years, and they've had people who were members there from the city of Williams, but they just got discouraged because there was just nothing going on. You understand how that is. Now, and I'm assuming you understand how that is, certainly not here, but other places perhaps you have been when you've been with a small group that is struggling. And it's interesting, we should have faith, we should continue with the Lord, even with small groups, but it's easy to be discouraged. And so as some of these brothers and sisters have become acquainted with what Doug and I are doing, then they're starting to come back. They're starting to show interest. One of these couples, although Barney and Hattie Barnhart, they live in a home just north of Williams. Their daughter was one of the ones that was a member there, and she left, and so we decided to start a Bible study in their home. And that study now has been going on for about 3 or 4 weeks. We've been studying every week there now for the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's a blessing to have Barney and Hattie, but it also includes their daughter, who used to be a member but is not now. It includes her husband, who is not a member, and includes another couple, Larry and Irma, their names. They're also interested, and these studies have been very good. They've been asking questions. They've been wanting to know about what the Bible says. Some of you would probably really like Larry a lot. Larry is a Vietnam vet, and right now he flies, if you've ever been on the helicopter tours over the Grand Canyon, I think they have two or three helicopters. He's one of the ones. And no, he was not involved in the accident last year that they had. But Larry is an interesting individual. He was in Vietnam for several years, and he's got some interesting stories. Retired military man. But him and Irma are just very much interested in the Bible. To my understanding, they are not yet Christians as the Bible defines that, but I believe they will be eventually. And I'm hoping that the church at Williams will be able to see some fruit from Doug and my work there, Because then it will just encourage them more and more to allow us to be a part of their efforts. And then one final thing, and then I want to open it up to questions, because I really want to get your interaction here. And this happened just the evening before I left to come out here, which was last Thursday night. There are some brethren here in Los Animas, Alamos. Is that it? Los Alamos? Where was the first atomic bomb set off? Los Alamos? Okay. Pardon me? Well, we'll pretend it's Los Animas. That's where some of the work was done, right?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Paul would know that, of course, yeah. Anyway, there are two brethren there. One that we know that we met in eastern Arizona here in Springerville. He's in the process of moving there, I think. His son lives there, and they are interested in the principle of mutual edification. They are working with a couple of churches in that area. They would like to know what the Bible says on these topics. Well, brothers and sisters, how do you say no to somebody like that? So we're planning, Doug is going to be in the Midwest here for a couple of weeks, and when he gets back, about the 1st of May, we're going to head out there, hopefully just for a day, because it's really not going to be any further going to Los Alamos than it is going to Pima. We're going to hopefully study with these brothers and find out how we can help them. We're hoping that simply by helping them, and by them helping the churches they're working with, that would be enough. Because that would be a good thing, don't you think, and continue some contact. If we have a chance to visit these churches in Los Alamos, then that'll be a good thing as well. But right now, we're just, you know, you just fly by the seat of your pants sometimes. And that's what we're doing here with this work out here in Los Alamos. Who knows what doors the Lord is going to open for us. And that's really what all this is about, are these doors that have been opened up by the grace of God. And that Doug and I are so privileged to be a part of. Not only there, but anywhere where the Word of God is preached is a blessing. And as I said personally, I thank you for your faith and for your works. And I want to urge you to read my report, to ask Jared and Randy both every month. Well, have they received it yet? Because you want to see it. They can make copies of it. You know, they have copy machines now that makes it really easy. So it's not really a difficult thing. I do believe you will be edified by them reading my report. As Gary Anderson says, it's like reading a newspaper. And if you've seen it, you understand. A la Marvin Ingle, but reading Doug's is much easier. Doug, again, we're opposites. Doug's is much more concise, usually on a page. Mine is on about 4 to 6 pages. But I do believe you would receive some benefit from that if you're able to take your time and read that. Do we have any questions? I hope you do. I was planning to present another lesson this evening, but Randy felt like it was a good thing that I present some thoughts on what we were doing in the work out there, because I know you have a hand in it. Flagstaff has around 60,000. Flagstaff has a major university. They have NAU, which is where our second daughter Leah is going. She's living on campus. And so that brings the population up in the wintertime to about 75,000 to 80,000. It has a lot of tourists, a lot of tourism. It doesn't have very much industry. They used to have timber and mining, but for various reasons, that's not allowed most places anymore. So about 60,000 total population. Paul.
You and Doug are spread fairly thin right now, but with the university sitting right there in your lap, have you considered approaching the university age?
We have. I failed to mention that. We have on Tuesday nights a Bible study with students there. We have a number of students from the university that are members of the Church of Christ sent there from other places that attend with us in our Sunday morning meeting, including my daughter Leah, and they also come to the Tuesday night Bible study. We have a Bible study on campus right now. So we are doing that. And you might find this interesting. I believe it's good. Doug is leading that study right now. Rob and McCall are helping. They're more the college-age kids. Rob is helping teach as well. I decided that I was a little bit older than the college kids, and we didn't want to outnumber the college kids with adults. So I'm not involved in that study unless for some reason Rob and McCall can't be there. And I've been there one time with Doug. But Doug is doing a tremendous job with that class. But yes, we are doing some work with the university. Thank you. The grace of God. We're very privileged to be involved in that work. And my greatest need is, and I'm thankful I have that need provided, is working with my fellow brother. So it is that is provided, I think. And yeah, you know, we are busy. I mean, once a week, you're talking about a 10-hour trip, five there, five back, plus about 3 or 4 hours in between down to Pima. And Couldn't do that by myself. Doug can't do it by himself over a period of time. It's something we need one another for that. And I can't overstress that because it's not used as much as I wish it were among the churches today. But it was something that both Doug and I knew was what would be needed. Because, you see, before we moved down there, we saw these opportunities. We saw this potential here. And so far it's worked out. We are very busy. But you know what? I like that. Doug likes that. Our wives like it sometimes. So there's just so much work there. And again, you answer the question. When somebody asks you for help, how do you say no? How do you say no? We've reached a point where we just cannot actively look for other churches to help because we just have so much. But yet, inactive, when someone asks us, we have to respond in some way. So we're hoping that would work out by just visiting these brethren and let them hopefully come to an understanding and do the teaching there in the churches they're working with. Good question. Yes?
Is there some of the other, you know, larger southern type Church of Christ that are over that far?
Yes.
There is.
There are a number of
area. There are some of those large groups down there.
Yes, there are. Yes. It's interesting though. There's one particular church in Phoenix. They have the largest Church of Christ in Arizona. Up until a year ago, had about 1,000 in attendance, but they recently had a bankruptcy. The church apparently got into investments that they shouldn't have been in probably in the first place, so I'm not sure of that. But be that as it may, they busted up. But there's a lot of other Churches of Christ in Phoenix. There are at least two others in Flagstaff. I know that. There are not very many Churches of Christ down in this area here simply because of the high Mormon population. There are a number of Churches of Christ in Tucson. And you have to forgive me, I don't remember. One of Doug's uncles was in Yuma in the Air Force. I don't remember which one that was. There was a Church of Christ. There are other Churches of Christ scattered out. But because of the population or lack of it, they're all basically centered in the larger cities like Phoenix and Tucson. Yes, Laura?
So would you speak to that? These smaller groups that can no longer afford to support a minister from the clergy system, and so they've sort of been left high and dry and really need.
Right. Well, was that all you had to say? I'll try to do this without as much biases as I normally have towards that. It seems to be the normal progression of things among many preachers. Is they get started in a church, usually a smaller church, and then they move up. They want to go to churches that can pay them more money, bigger memberships, and so that leaves the smaller groups. They just can't afford to have a man. The church at Flagstaff could not afford to have a man there if they had to pay for that. So thankfully, both Doug and I are supported by a number of other Churches of Christ. And this, I don't think, is a really common practice among Churches of Christ. I don't think it's common to have preachers supported by a lot of different churches. Though it might be, I'm just not aware of it. It does happen, okay? But most Churches of Christ that have their own quote-unquote ministers, they support that man themselves. So the way that Doug and I are supported, and the way that others are supported, like John, I'm sure, and others, they're supported by a number of churches. And because of that, the church at Williams is very pleased to have us come there. But Doug and I are really trying to avoid the topic of money with these churches. Because we are trying to let them know that we are not there for their money. Because that's simply the way it's looked at by many. We're there to try to serve them. And they brought it up. They wanted to know about how much we were going to charge them. And we tried to make it clear in our letter that we in no way were seeking money at all. The little Bible study I have there in Williams, the couple there has offered to pay for our gas to go to Williams and back. And we've told them right now, we'd just rather not right now, simply because we want them to become comfortable with us. And sometime in the future, perhaps, if they see a need to bring it up, then that'll be a different topic. But right now, we're trying to make it so that we don't want them to in any way misunderstand our work with them, that money is not an issue with them right now. Somebody started to say something. But as far as the smaller groups, some of them are looking for help. They really are, and they just can't afford to have a man come there. But many of them are very, and rightfully so, are very cautious about having somebody come in that they don't know. And rightfully so. You would be, wouldn't you? That's just normal. And so sometimes it just takes time to establish yourself, to have hopefully a good reputation of speaking the Word of God. And I might add to that, the church at Williams is very pleased with Doug and I. We seem to, according to them, we teach what the Bible says. And they haven't heard anything that they object to. So I appreciate that. But there are lots of Churches of Christ. And there are probably a lot here as well that you're just not aware of. Churches of Christ here in Missouri. Probably a little bit larger in your average size because of the population. But this is one of the reasons why we moved down to Arizona, because we saw all the potential opportunities there that were waiting. But I just don't know how many more churches we could help. But we just do the best that we can. Yes, Dan.
How many miles do you drive a month?
A lot. I was figuring that out because, about 3,000, basically. Going down to Pima and back is almost 700 miles, just in itself. Now, that's by far the longest route, although we go to Flagstaff. Usually, we try to coordinate our work together. I work with Phoenix and Pima, in other words. Like often, on the Bible study we have at Phoenix, we try to go there for the Bible study and then go to Pima and the next leg, so that we don't double up our mileage. But it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes we just have to do what we have to do, and it's a lot of driving. Doug and I, we alternate vehicles. We also just recently have decided, and this probably was more my fault than his, it's just pure stubbornness. And see, I'm stubborn and Doug is not. So we work well together like that way. But now when we drive to Pima, whoever's car it is, the other person does driving a part of the leg going back to Flagstaff, because getting back at 3 in the morning is pretty tiring. And we found out that to be a good thing, to be able to alternate like that as well. So it is a lot of miles. After I moved down there, we had a Saturn that was having some problems, and so I bought a Grand Am that wants to go faster than my Saturn, I will tell you that. I bought it in November of 2002, and it has 57,000 miles on it now. So, and Doug has a vehicle likewise. So a lot of miles. There's a lot of miles to cover, and that's one of the negative aspects of having been in an area like this. I mean, this is all desert. Does anybody here know that Arizona is considered a mountain state? Do you know why they're called a mountain state? They have lots of mountains. I didn't know that. I thought it was all just flat desert. But all the way, well, not all the way, but much of the distance between Flagstaff and Phoenix, you have two ranges of mountains. You have another range. We call them the Globe Mountains here between Phoenix and Pima. Just a lot of mountain driving. And going from a high of 75 degrees in Flagstaff to a high of 120 degrees in Phoenix is an interesting trip as well. But by the grace of God, I'm thankful we can do that. I mean, you look at the opportunities we have compared to the first century, the sheer distance that we can go. And we can do this in a day, a long day, but a day. And that really is a good thing. Any other questions? Well, if nothing else, I want to thank you for the privilege of being here with you this weekend. I pray that the words that I've had the chance to speak to you have been good words for you. I appreciate the opportunity this morning to talk about the love of God. And here I'm trying to do something that I guarantee your grandparents never did, trying to get my computer shut off here before I finish my lesson. But this evening, to have the chance to talk to you about the work that we're doing, as you can see, I am very much excited about what we're doing. I hope that you have an opportunity to talk to Doug about what he thinks of the work. I'm in no way trying to speak for him. You need to hear the words from him, but look at his report, and I know you'll understand, and I believe you'll see that same excitement as well. We're going to have a closing song this afternoon. What you have heard, if you're not a Christian, is Christians talking about planting seed, trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're trying to do in Arizona, in addition to working with the brothers and the sisters already there. But there's also seed planted here. Anywhere there are God's people at, there's going to be seed planted. If you are ready to serve the Lord, we urge you to think about God. Jesus invites you to think about Him, because you don't know how long your life is going to last. As we said this morning, you may not make it out of the door. I don't know. And then again, you might. But we want you to think about the Lord seriously. And if we can serve you in any way, we ask you to ask questions, to inquire. If you're ready to be immersed into the Lord and you're all ready to repent, praise God. But if you simply want to know more about the Lord, we urge you to think about God as we stand and as we sing.